Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Daniel and Isia, and we are broadcasting from the unceded traditional and ancestral land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. How are you doing, Isia?
I'm good. I'm very excited for what week it is.
Yeah.
Because it's a very special week in the year.
It is Fun Drive week. We are clapping into the microphone. Isia, do you want to give us a little rundown of what Fun Drive means at CITR?
Yeah, so if you don't know what Fun Drive is, it's our annual fundraiser here at CITR. This year we were trying to raise $20,000 so that we can get a new radio transmitter, which is
radio transmitter.
You'll get the reference later. But yeah, it's really important so that, you know, we can get our airwaves out to other places in the city. Since right now there's a couple kind of missing spots in our connection, especially with such a hilly city like Vancouver. So if you love CITR and everything it has to offer, please consider donating. And you can do so by going to citr.ca/donate. And you'd have the opportunity to get a lot of fun swag in the process of doing that, if you do donate, which we'll talk a bit more about later. But yeah, Fun Drive.
Broadcast your love. So speaking of broadcasting our love, Isia and I thought today maybe we would broadcast our love of love in pop culture, specifically TV shows. And earlier today we were talking about one of our favorite TV shows, which is Insecure. And for anyone who hasn't seen Insecure, Insecure is like this awesome HBO show created by Issa Rae. And it essentially follows Issa Rae's character, whose name is also Issa.
Issa D,
as she just navigates the ups and downs of chasing her dreams in Los Angeles. And there's like kind of a central romantic relationship between her and Lawrence. I don't remember Lawrence's last name.
It
doesn't really matter, does it?
It does not.
No. But we're talking about them, and I don't know, Isia, what do you think about Issa and Lawrence?
Issa and Lawrence are an interesting couple. Just to give people a little bit of backstory, if you haven't seen the show, it starts off with them being in a long-term relationship. Issa's not really happy with where she is in her career. She's working at a nonprofit. She feels kind of stagnant in life, and Lawrence, I think he tried to launch an app and it failed. And since then he's kind of been down in the dumps and he just sits at home all day watching TV.
Yeah. He does work at Best Buy for a couple episodes, I think.
He does. That's when he finally starts to,
Pick
up a bit. But for a while he's just at home. And Issa, through this discomfort in their relationship, kind of starts to stray and things go awry. Yeah. They end up breaking up. And then over the 5 seasons, it's kind of like, will they get back together? Will they not? She dates some other guys. But it's always like Lawrence is there as an option. And he really improves in life and like gets all rich and tech successy. And she's like coming up in life as well in her career.
And they find their way back to each other.
Exactly.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And I think we were kind of talking about, at least I like the Issa and Lawrence relationship mainly because the whole show, like the point isn't necessarily like just their relationship and, oh, are they going to like get together or not? But I really like that Issa and Lawrence are kind of like fully realized multi-dimensional characters. A lot of the best episodes, a lot of the best jokes, a lot of the best moments of Insecure aren't necessarily with Issa and Lawrence, but it's just Issa doing funny stuff, like when her friends like go to Coachella or something.
Baychella.
Yeah.
That
was a great episode. Or nothing is coming to mind for Lawrence.
Like Lawrence's episode where he meets those two girls.
Yes.
At like Trader Joe's or whatever.
Yeah.
That was an interesting episode. I feel like I was going to say, because you described the show as having Lawrence and Issa at the center of it, but I would argue that the central relationship in the show, which is also about love, more platonic love, but is between Issa and Molly, who are best friends, and also kind of go through it throughout the show. They like fight a lot. They have periods where they seem to not, they can't stand each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they are like best friends. And I feel like that's something that Insecure does really well, that I haven't seen in a lot of shows is just like portraying that friendship and like also doing a good job of something at least that I've experienced where I'll go through periods of friends with friends where I just can't like stand them. Like we just spent so much time ago. Yeah. And it's just like they do the littlest thing and you get pissed off and you just kind of got to get over that hump because it doesn't actually have anything to do with them. It's just like a weird tension. And I feel like Issa and Molly definitely go through that as well. You know?
Yeah, I would agree with you that I think the Molly and Issa relationship is definitely like the central like focus of the show when it comes to relationships. And I do really agree with you where you say like there's those periods where you have friends where you just know them so well and you're so close to them that if you are annoyed with them, it's like every single little thing they do is just annoying and you want to kill them. So I did really love that like season long arc where it kind of shows like the breakup of Issa and Molly, and because like they've built up this relationship over so many seasons, and I think because it's a unique relationship that you don't necessarily see as much on television, it makes it hit like way harder than anything with Issa and Lawrence.
Yeah, and they never do the like weird competition thing. It's like their conflicts are a lot deeper than that. It's just like the whole show. Yeah, there's just so many relationships that like explore different, I guess, like emotions and like conflicts. Like something I thought was interesting is Molly's character. She's like a really like high striving type A like lawyer. She's like this black woman who's made it in like her law firm, and she's just like very, very hardworking and kind of intense. And she has a really high standard for her relationships because she has this like picture perfect idea of her parents who have like been married for 60 years. And there's an episode where she learns, spoiler alert, that her dad actually did cheat on her mom and she forgave him. But it like shatters her like
her
illusion of love.
Yeah.
And she's like, does love even exist? Like this perfect relationship that I grew up under isn't even what I thought it was. Which I think is interesting. And also, like, Molly gets in her way a lot with her relationships, you know?
Because of those high standards.
Yeah, or, like, not even standards, just, like, weird expectations that are whack. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, she, like, finally gets over it. And I guess in some way does get that picture-perfect relationship she wants. But she doesn't really get that until she stops, like, getting out of her own way and learning to be like a normal person. And I do remember, this is like a random tangent, but my friend and I, Ian, like the both of us loved watching Insecure while it was still on. But like whenever Molly would go to like her therapist, and her therapist would just like completely like deconstruct her and be like, this is wrong with you, this is wrong with you, this is wrong with you. And Molly would be like, I think she says something like, damn, like, read me then, like, Dr. Rhonda or whatever. So that became, like, a little catchphrase my friends and I would say if one of us, like, had to check the other friend and be like, damn, okay, Dr. Rhonda. But anyway, that was a random aside. But, yeah, really loved the Molly and Issa relationship.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other show relationships that you have a lot of strong opinions on or really hate?
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier. Maybe let's talk about The Office for a little bit. I really dislike Jim and Pam. I just thought they were very uninteresting. And I don't know how much of The Office you've watched.
I've watched it all, but just a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like can't remember like anything really interesting about the two of them individually, other than the fact that they spend most of the show like will they, won't they-ing.
That's
with each
true.
Other.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they didn't really have that. Maybe if they, not to say they didn't have any personality, like I know Pam like likes to draw or something.
That's what I was going to say. I just know she does art and she doesn't want to be a secretary anymore. She wants to be a salesman.
Yeah.
That's like one of her things.
So she has drive and an artistic flair. But other than that, I don't know. I felt like Jim's only thing was like looking into the camera and like bothering Dwight. And I just felt that they were such like vanilla characters that every time they were on screen, I was waiting for like another character to be on. Like we were talking about how much more interesting like Ryan and Kelly are, because they're both like terrible people and their relationship.
Dwight and what's her name?
Dwight and Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dwight and Angela were like way more entertaining. Like, do you have any thoughts on those two? Do you remember anything?
I don't. I thought, yeah, they were just like more interesting because they spend so much time separate from each other and like have their specific personality archetypes. I think one of the funniest relationships in that show is Michael Scott and the Janice.
Oh, like the episode yeah, Michael where Scott
they
and
go,
like
that's like
his
the funniest
boss?
To me.
Yeah.
That's like the funniest episode where they go to their house for
dinner party?
And it's just
yeah.
like so uncomfortable. But I think people have an obsession with Jim and Pam, and it's like held so high in pop culture, and like people really idolize that TV relationship because it kind of the message of it all to me seems like if you're persistent and you hold on and you wait it out, you're going to get the girl and it's all going to work out. Cause I don't know. I can't remember how many seasons it takes, but it takes a while for them to finally get together. And it's just all about like perseverance, which is, I don't know. I don't know if I like that messaging of like, just wait it out and you'll get the girl.
I think to me it showcases that if there's anyone of a gender you're attracted to and you spend enough time with them, you'll become attracted to them. Pam was literally like the only normal woman that was also Jim's age, like in
the
office.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like, I don't know, maybe he also had slim pickings and same with Pam. And they just like drew. And also Pam's last relationship was just like awful, which I think maybe why she was just like, oh, Jim's like normal and doesn't have anger management.
Yeah,
issues.
What's up with this office having multiple? Okay, it's a TV show. I get it. But like, also, the office is very pro capitalism. It says no life outside of the workforce.
Yeah.
This is where you live, breathe, marry, have kids, fall in love.
And it all revolves around the paper.
All around. Yeah, exactly. But sales, sales, sales.
Had no friends outside of the office. Like, I mean, I can't remember any.
Yeah, no, there was like barely any exploration of. I mean, it makes like it makes sense. It's like
the office.
You know, it's a sitcom set in a very specific location. But yeah, it is interesting that people weren't brought in very often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like the Michael and Holly relationship. If you remember that, Holly was like she's like brought in to like I don't know, like tighten up the office. She was like blonde. Like played by Amy Ryan.
Yes.
I really liked her because it was someone who was like as unhinged and like weird as Michael, but in a more like wholesome, like less problematic way. So I thought that relationship was interesting because it's like, oh, we've seen like X many seasons of Michael being like the worst, but like kind of lovable, but always funny. And now here's like a counterpart that is like weird in all the ways that make Michael funny, but he could like potentially make him a better person, and we like see him become a better person with her. And I feel like because of that, it was more like entertaining to watch and interesting. Whereas with Jim and Pam, I feel like they tried to take so much like drama or entertainment out of just like, are they going to get together or not? Oh, they got together. Now they have a baby. Like, is their relationship going to be good with the baby or not? And then they introduce, like, the weird, like, cameraman love triangle or something at the end. And they're like, oh, is Pam going to leave Jim for the cameraman?
I don't even remember that.
It was very horrible and forgettable. But I don't know. I just, like, never really bought into the Jim and Pam thing because there was nothing, like, engaging about their relationship. And I felt like it was just so, so forced.
Hmm. Yeah. I know you're a Parks and Rec fan, and it's kind of like a comparable show in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of, I forget, Leslie and Ben. Yeah, are you a fan of their relationship?
Yeah. Did you watch Parks and Rec?
I've seen a bit of it, but never got super into it.
I liked Leslie and Ben, I guess, mainly for the same reasons I liked Issa and Lawrence, just that like they were introduced as, or they were kind of like developed as characters before they started getting together. Like Leslie has like all these amazing like story arcs with all her like political campaigns and like debates and stuff. And then Ben also has his whole like story arc with being like this 18-year-old mayor of a town and then like messing up the entire town and stuff. So there was very like comedic and fun and interesting like quirks and storylines about them that kind of developed them as characters. And then because of that, when the writers finally brought them together, it did make sense. And I was like rooting for them and all that. Although they were like, to me, not as interesting as like, I don't know, like April and Andy. Like
Chris I was going to ask. Yeah. How about them?
They're just so weird. Like it's way more entertaining than like and like watching normal people fall in love. Like, I loved that they ate all their meals out of Frisbees and stuff.
True. Yeah. And I feel like in a sitcom structure, obviously in like more long form or even something like Insecure, which is a bit more serious, I guess.
Yeah. Prestigious or prestigious.
Yeah. Like there's, we want to see normal people falling in love and being, I don't know, average and like nice. But in sitcoms, it's all about, in that kind of sitcom, it's like about being ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
So that adds a lot of value to it. Speaking of normal people.
that was a great segue.
Thank you. That was another TV show relationship that I wanted to speak on very briefly. I think Normal People is extremely, extremely popular. It was a book written by Sally Rooney, an Irish writer, and it was adapted into a TV show starring Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar-Jones, and it kind of launched both of their careers. And it basically follows these two teenagers. Well, it starts off with them as teenagers. He's popular, she isn't. They do the whole secret relationship thing, and then they go to university, and they're kind of on and off. And again, it's big will they, won't they energy. And I thought it was interesting just because the show is held in such high esteem and so is the book. But in the book, you see so much of their like internal monologues and like what they're experiencing internally. So it isn't as frustrating that these people just can't communicate. It's like above the will they, won't they trope. It's like really is just like the miscommunication trope. But in the show, it's like a bit more permissible because you see what they're going through and you see why they question if they should go for it and like put themselves out there. But in the show, it's just two hot people not talking, you know?
Yeah.
And it just goes on.
So what would like improve the show in your eyes? Like voiceovers? Like
I guess it's hard to say because voiceovers can get corny very quickly. I think a lot of subtext was also lost in the show, especially when it comes to like how class affects their relationship. Like she's well off, he isn't. And his mother is actually her family's cleaner. And even though the kind of central dynamic of the show is that she kind of holds on to the fact that she was a loser in high school and he was popular. But like literally his mom was her family's cleaner. And I feel like that's like a more
it's
impactful,
a juicier, like,
yeah,
conflict.
Like,
yeah.
And like impact on maybe why he wasn't always like gonna be super comfortable like talking to her and like being like I love you, and just like it continues to impact the relationship as they go to university and she like falls in with a group of like well-off students and like is pretty fits in university and he doesn't really because he is working class and like doesn't have as much money as these rich kids and like doesn't get them, which is like, to me, it's like that's what really matters is like money in the end of the day. Not what really matters in my soul, but really it, I mean, like what really has an effect on your life.
Yeah, like a more interesting dynamic or impactful dynamic.
Yeah, like sure, he was popular in high school, but like you don't have to pay rent.
Yeah.
Or like work through your degree.
I know. I'm not the most, like, I think I'm probably not the most literate viewer, as we saw last week with Y2Mama Tambien when I thought it was
E2Mama Tambien,
sorry, when I thought it was by Luca Guadagnino and I didn't realize one of the main characters was dead. But I watched, like, the first
Dies. Wasn't dead the whole time. Can you imagine? She was a ghost the whole time. It'd be such a funny movie.
They were just, I'm not going to make that joke, but I've watched like the first episode of Normal People and I feel like I was a little turned off, maybe just because it was like overhyped for me a little bit, but also I didn't fully pick up on like the whole like class dynamic. To me it was kind of just like, oh, he's popular, she's a little weird, even though I didn't think she was that weird. I thought she like, I liked that she was like talking back to the teachers and stuff.
The casting, she was also like too pretty to be playing this in the book. She's like a plain,
she's beautiful,
brown-haired girl, whatever that means. But Daisy Edgar-Jones is like, it's super pretty. So it didn't really work.
Yeah.
I would suggest you read the book.
Okay.
I would read the book rather than watch the show.
I'll give reading a go.
It's like pretty short and like not too, you know.
Okay.
It's not very dense or anything.
It'll fit for my shorter than
usual. No, I just mean like it's not too much of a labor. Like it won't take too much of your time.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go and then maybe we'll have like a full length episode where we where we chat about it. Is there any other like TV or media couples that you really like?
Nothing that I want to cover at this moment. Maybe we should take a quick ad break.
That sounds great.
Awesome.
Okay, we will be right back.
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
What?
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
Maybe you can go to...
I heard at CITR you can donate during Fun Drive from February 2nd to 9th to get cool prizes like lighters, wine glasses, bathrobes, and more. Donate to CITR to help community radio thrive.
To donate, go to citr.ca/donate.
I would have to tell you. You have bewitched me, body and soul, and I love you.
Do you know who bewitches us? CITR Radio and Discorder Magazine, a place for our local community to share their love of art and culture, like Isia and I do on our show Fan Club.
This week, we are hosting our annual fun drive, a special time in the year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air.
This year, we are raising money for a new radio transmitter. If you're able to donate, we'd really appreciate your support. Please visit citr.ca/donate to contribute.
Thank you. We love you.
And we are back. This is CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Isia and Daniel. You just heard some Fun Drive PSAs, including Isia and I's PSA for Fan Club, which I actually just heard for the first time. That was really fun.
We worked very hard on it.
It was. It was a full day affair, actually. Why don't we talk a little bit about Fun Drive? Let people know what's going on.
Yes. So as I mentioned earlier, sorry, people were looking at me, so I giggled. It's Fun Drive. We're raising money to get a new radio transmitter. Exactly. And we're going to need about $20,000 to do so. So we need your help. But your kindness will not go unnoticed.
Unrewarded.
Yeah. Yes. We have prizes for different donation levels. So if you donate $30 or commit to donating $5 a month, you'll get a Discorder lighter that has a very beautiful and romantic sketch on it. And it's like hot pink. So you'll be the coolest, I don't know, smoker, candle user, whatever you use a lighter for. You want to do it with a cool lighter.
And if you love hot pink, then right up your alley.
Yeah, it could just be an accessory. You don't even have to use it.
Yeah.
And then if you donate $60 or a one-time donation of $60 or donate $10 a month, you get a stemless CITR wine glass.
Ooh.
So you can enjoy two of the best things on this planet, wine and CITR, at the same time. Which is amazing.
Amazing.
Then if you donate $101.90 or $15 a month, you get a Broadcast Your Love notebook as well as a song dedication on Valentine's Day, which is pretty fun. Donate a song to your wife, your partner, your dog, your kid, whoever you want.
Cat. Daniel, if you want to dedicate a song to me.
Daniel off lobby, just everyone, if
everyone
you donate.
Everyone should do it. I'd feel really special if you did. Yeah.
Exactly. And then if you donate $500 or $45 a month, you get a Love Me Not bathrobe. So it's like a embroidered white, soft, pillowy, towel-y bathrobe, which is honestly epic. Like, I want that bathrobe really badly.
I love baths and robes, so.
Exactly. Oh, and of course, with each tier, you get everything the tier below it. So you'd be getting the bathrobe and the book and the wine glass and
the lighter.
And lastly, if you donate $1,000 or $90 a month, you get all of the above things, as well as a chance to host your own radio show, and you get a Fanta Records prize pack, which is CITR's very own record label. So get on it. And if you do choose to donate, please select Fan Club as the show that inspired you to do so.
Yes.
Because you've been working very hard to spread the word of Fun Drive.
Exactly. And Fun Drive is not just an opportunity for people to donate to keep CITR running, but it's also an opportunity for all of us at CITR to share why the station means so much to us. I see it. Do you have any thoughts on why CITR means so much to you?
Well, when I was a student here, I basically spent all my time here. Like, I became a volunteer in my first year, and then I joined the student exec, and I stayed on that for a few years. And I gained a lot of experience and, like, things that I definitely wouldn't have otherwise. And it led me to getting this job. So now I'm employed, which is pretty great.
Woot, woot.
And I don't think there's many places that, I don't know, just let you do so many things with such a low barrier of entry.
Yeah.
You get to write, you get to produce radio, you get to learn about sound, you get to do art, and you can try all those things even if you've never even done it before, which is pretty unique. So CITR is the place.
Yeah.
And we need your money to keep it the place.
Money, please, money, as please. Mona Lisa from Parks and Rec says. Yeah.
How about you?
How about me? CITR means a lot to me, too. I feel like I sort of joined in first year, but I didn't really, like, take full advantage of everything it had to offer. And now I'm in my last year, and I was like, I should give CITR another go. And I kind of wandered in here, and I haven't really left since then. Everything ICEA said, I agree with. It's been, like, a great opportunity to not just meet awesome people and hear about a lot of cool things going on in pop culture, but there's not many places at UBC or anywhere where you can kind of just learn to do a whole bunch of things when it comes to sound and music and radio broadcasting, and also just get to, like, kind of talk about whatever you want, because I feel like my friends are definitely getting tired of me saying all the things I say on this show, but just directly to them for an hour and a half. So I'm glad I have this outlet and other outlets to kind of share ideas and talk about fun stuff with ICEA. So yeah, if you're able to donate to Fun Drive, that would be amazing if you did.
And you can do so at citr.ca/donate.
Thank you. Yeah. Should we talk about love when it comes to music?
Yes, please.
Okay. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be a good idea for us to, you know, talk about maybe some of our favorite love songs, which is truly hard to do, because I think if I could guess, like, mathematically, at least, like, 60% of songs are about love in some capacity, whether they're, like, breakup songs or, like, crush songs or, like heartbreak songs or songs that are super intense and melodramatic. It's, you know, all kind of about the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy, but yet, like, music has existed for, like, kajillions of years, and yet artists are still innovating and finding new ways to
talk about love,
yeah.
And even if you think of, like, other mainstream topics in music, it's like, what, revenge? But what's revenge usually, what are you usually avenging?
Love.
Yeah, it's like you got cheated on, or, I don't know, someone left you, and it's kind of endless.
Yeah.
To be honest. What are some of your favorite? Sorry.
Some of my favorites?
Favorite love songs.
Oh God. Okay.
Someone you think does a really good job of writing love songs as a whole.
Okay.
If you want.
If I want. Okay, I'll talk about a couple. I feel like the lazy, easy answer is probably Frank Ocean, just because every time he like talks about love, like he's always in his bag. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how he does it, but I feel like 16-year-old me or whenever Blonde came out, I was like, damn, like, this is what.
You were 16 when Blonde came out?
Were I we? Think so.
Were we? How old are you? Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm 22.
That's crazy that it came out so long. I thought, damn.
Yeah, like 2016, I want to say. Damn. So it's coming up on its like 7-year anniversary. But yeah, Frank Ocean just has a way of like, I don't know, doubly like talking about himself and his own insecurities and his own experiences, but also like weaving love into it in a way that makes you, that makes love feel like a very like essential part of just living and being, which I guess I would say it is. So I feel like all of his songs kind of elicit some kind of emotional response from me. And I feel like one of my favorite, like, quote unquote, love songs from him is Self Control.
Like, that's a great song.
Yeah, it's just like very, I don't know, it's very like stripped back, and it kind of just lets his voice do all the work. And then I love how at the end it comes back and there's like that chorus of like, I gotta leave over and over again. And I feel like it's just very, very nice to me. And then I also like SZA as well, kind of for the similar reasons of Frank Ocean.
They're like toxic love songs.
Yeah, they're just toxic love songs about people who don't, yeah, should probably go to therapy. And yeah, they just have a good way of making you feel everything they're feeling and making you feel like what they're feeling is the same exact thing you are feeling, if that made any sense.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing about Frank Ocean is also that, I mean, he's this like queer musician that is so popular and like influential and just has this like universal appeal, like in pop music, but also like all this critical acclaim. And he's like singing about queer love as well, and has like, I don't know, all these like straight guys probably like singing along to Chanel, being like, my guy pretty like a girl, which is really funny to me.
Funny.
But also great because, I don't know, it's just like,
shows the power, his power.
It does show his power.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. Okay. Frank Ocean has power. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
And then I'll hand it to you, I see. But the other two artists I was going to mention, I really like D'Angelo. I feel like his music kind of like, it like hails back to like that period of love songs where, I don't know, love was almost kind of simplified. Like it was kind of just like, hey, I think you're beautiful and attractive. We should get it on. And that's kind of like the basis of a lot of his music, not to like reduce it to that or suggest it's bad, but I just love his more like, I don't know, simplified like view of love. And then I think he does like a good job of expressing it. And it's also just bangers. Like I can't really say anything super academic when it comes to D'Angelo other than that his music is awesome. And then Ginuwine, like to a lesser extent, I love as well.
Did you want to play a song by any of those people?
We should. I just can't decide really. So maybe you should talk a little bit while I think of the collab.
Okay, I already know what song I want to play.
Let's start with yours then.
Okay, yeah. Well, I wanted to play Sweet Thing by Chaka Khan and Rufus. I think we should maybe play it and then I can talk about it after.
Sure.
But this song has drugs in it. I love it so much. It makes me happy every time I hear it. And I listen to it maybe once a day for good health. So
You heard it here first. Stream Sweet Thing for good health. Here it is.
Just want to satisfy, though you're not mine, I can't deny. reaching up to you lately. Been a couple months since I told you it's over. Caught me off guard when I saw you last week. Oh, so tough, but you bluffed when you had me. Saying my ex like my name ain't Steve. Gave you a chance and some dopamine. Safe to say after me you peeped. Still a give you dick anytime you need.
Admit that I wasn't lost. You're taking it just as hard. Criticize me all you want, but I'm always gonna be
Hello, hello. We're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Isaiah and Daniel. The songs you just heard were Sweet Thing by Chaka Khan and Rufus, and then Sunshine by Steve Lacy and Fouché, which was an artist's artists and a song I forgot to mention, but that's probably my favorite love song as of late. But Isaiah, why don't you tell us a little bit about Sweet Thing, why you love it?
I mean, first of all, I love it just because the writing, the like instrumentals, the drumming, like everything about that song to me is just so pleasant and lovely and amazing. And then you like add Chaka Khan's vocals. Like, I think she's like one of the most insane vocalists ever. I can't think of anyone who sounds like her and like does what she does. And it was interesting. I was watching a video about her and how she, like most singers in her time and who are like great, great singers like that, either came up in church or had like some kind of other vocal training through school. But she just like played in bands and like sang in bands and has this like insane technique just naturally without it being taught to her.
Yeah.
Which is very rare. And there's this like live video of her performing it in this like red gown, and she just looks so beautiful and she's so happy. And the song is so, for lack of a better term, it's just so sweet. And it like, to me, it's like, I don't know. It's like perfectly exemplifies that just like nice and warm feeling you have for someone that you love.
Well, it's very warm.
It's just like so pleasant and like joyous. I don't know. That's why I love that song.
No, I get it. That's very fair. I think that was one of the first times I've heard that song, so I really enjoyed it.
You should listen to it at least four to five more times.
Yeah.
And then Everlasting Love, also Chaka Khan. It's like one of her hits. That song is like nuts, like vocally. It's like dramatic. It's a bit like darker than this one. Not like actually dark, but I don't know. The tone of it's a bit more
edgy.
Somber. It's like, this is an everlasting love, whereas Sweet Thing is kind of like, this is a crush
is
and
a
I
fling.
Love you. Yeah,
okay,
you know. But yeah. why do you love the Steve Lacy and Fouché song?
So many reasons. I feel like this is just one of those songs that it came out, like when it came out, I just have so many like memories associated to it. I feel like, first of all, this was one of the songs that like for me established Fouché as just like, okay, she's like that girl. Like, mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, R&B, like, all her vocals, all her lyrics on this, like, I think she has one line where she's, like, after she's, like, put those feelings back where they came from, like, why can't we just get along, or at least let's get it on? I'm like, damn, that's so relatable when there's, like, someone you were dating and it's over and you're, like, why can't we just, like, figure this out in, like, some way? So it was, like, very relatable. And then also just, I've been, like, a huge Steve Lacy fan. We were talking about it like since the internet, and then since he dropped like his demos, EP, and then this song too, I feel like was like, okay, he's very like fully formed in this when it comes to like the instrumentals, when it comes to like the vocals, and then especially when it comes to the lyrics, because I feel like I've always, like I really do love Steve Lacy, but I feel like a lot of his earlier music, the lyrics are kind of just like an afterthought almost, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like this one is just so multi-dimensional to me, just because like the lyrics are great, the vocals are great, the instrumentation is great, and kind of like how you were saying about Sweet Thing, Icia, it just gives me that feeling of like all the dopamine centers are being hit at full force, and it's very like warm, and it reminds me of summer and like going on long runs in the forest. And everything about it is just tied to like very like happy moments in time for me. So I think that's why I would say this is my favorite love song. I'm kind of surprised it didn't come up earlier, but yeah, at the moment, this is my favorite love song.
Yeah, and his like, I feel like something Steve Lacy does really, really well is his melody choices. They're just very unique and they've always been so good. I was listening to his first EP last night, actually, and just the choices he makes are so pleasant because the like production and the music he plays, especially in his earlier stuff, is very simple. It's very nice, but it's like simple, and I think it's good because of its simplicity. But then it's like his melodic choices that make the song really interesting. And yeah, just like how this song kind of meanders through all the different like sections is super, super well done.
For this song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything does, but like especially this song, which is why, like, the first time I heard it and watched the music video, I was immediately obsessed with it.
Yeah, the music video is really good, too.
Yeah, and I agree. Fouché is amazing. And she has a very unique voice. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone else who really sounds like her and does it as well. Because I get there's a lot of, like, soft singing R&B singers in the world, especially now. But she has, like, extra
extra oomph.
Extra oomph behind it. Yeah. It makes her stand out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where she goes because she is like a co-writer for like half of like Gemini Writes, which won a Grammy.
Oh, really?
Which won the Grammy for, yeah, she wrote like half the songs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she's like a co-writer on this. She's a co-writer on like Bad Habit, Mercury, I want to say like Cody Freestyle, maybe one or two others too. But yeah, Steve Lacy's been very like vocal about how instrumental, no pun intended, like Fouché was when it came to writing this album. And I feel like Sunshine, I think this is one of my favorite Fouché collabs. And then I've also loved to see her be in so much demand by like other artists who kind of want to tap into that, I don't know, that vibe that she brings, especially when it comes to love songs. Like she was just on Yachty's album. Who else? She's been on like Raven Lenae's R&B album, which is really great. They have a great little breakup song together. And yeah, really excited to see where she goes. That was a bit of a tangent, but yeah.
That's
Sunshine.
Okay. Fouché Fan Club.
Fouché Fan Club. It's official. Name's changed. Yeah.
Yeah. And not to drag on too long about the song or Steve Lacy, but I do. One thing I noticed about his EP when I was listening to it last night is how short it was. Like how short all the songs are. And I think people, or maybe not just me, I was curious about what his music would be like if he made longer songs and like if he could sustain a song over 2 minutes. And I feel like with Gemini Writes, he's really proven that. And it's like even miles ahead of his last LP, his first LP that he put out. I forget what it was called.
Apollo 21, I would say. Yeah.
I feel like, and Fouché probably had something to do with that as well. If she was writing, co-writing with him on so many of the songs. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think this album has some of my favorite like instrumentals because they definitely do like develop. Like we just heard with Sunshine, this is like a 5 minute song and it has like at least two distinct like parts to it. And I just love how it like grows and changes. And then like you were saying, Isaiah with the melodies and kind of the choices he makes. And then, yeah, I think a lot of it is probably indebted to Fouché, but I would guess him as well when it comes into the lyrics and kind of the stuff he's talking about. Because when you are saying, like, yeah, a lot of his songs are 2 minutes or under, a lot of his earlier stuff, there's not that much room for, like, super substantial lyrics, which is fine. Like, I love his old stuff, but I thought it was really interesting to see him kind of not only have, like, amazing instrumentals that progress in a way that's a bit different than his other stuff, but also some lyrics that maybe have a little bit more meat to them. Yeah. Who's your favorite?
I was just pointing at the computer.
Oh, okay.
Like, continue talking.
That means we're going to play some ads soon. But I was just going to ask, is there any, like, artists that express love in a way that you're looking to see more music from them?
That is a good question that I'm not sure if I have a great answer for at the moment.
That is okay.
Yeah, I think I like, I don't know. I like Mitski's like expression of longing and just being like, oh, I'll never be that girl. He's never going to want me. But
she does longing very well.
I also haven't listened to Mitski in a while. I have, but she hasn't put anything out in a while. So it's not very topical. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. We'll play some ads and then we'll be near the end of our show, so stay tuned.
I'm Owen Wilson, and I'm here to talk to you about a subject that's near and dear to my heart.
The CITR and Discorder Fun Drive. CITR's great. So it's Discorder.
I don't know what to expect. I got to be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my bearings. There's cartoons, your mom.
Radio's cool.
So do the right thing. Donate now to the...
The CITR and Discorder Fun Drive.
You'd be doing me a solid.
Go to citr.ca/donate.
Come on.
Hello, everybody. This is Sarah Unju, and you are not listening to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. However, if you would like to keep listening to us, if you like our reviews, our interviews, our ticket giveaways, you can go to citr.ca/donate, because that is right, this week is Fun Drive. And with your donations, we're able to keep CITR local and alternative voices on CITR. So, if you can, please go to citr.ca/donate and donate as much as you can.
Hello, hello. We're back. This is CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Fan Club with Isia and Daniel. We're going to wrap it up for today, but before we say bye-bye, we thought we would talk a little bit more about Fun Drive real quick. So, Isia, what's up? What's going on?
I just wanted to reiterate that it is Fun Drive.
Yes.
We do need your money.
Please.
We do need a new radio transmitter.
Money to us, please.
So please, please, please consider donating. You can do so at citr.ca/donate. And another way to help us fundraise, but also have fun, is if you came out to our Fun Drive finale show. It's happening this Thursday, February 9th at Redgate Art Society on Main Street. We have Jackson Ramsey, Puzzlehead, and Cyrus Jordan playing. Awesome, eclectic selection of bands. Local bands are going to be great. Cover is $10. No one's turned away for lack of funds. It's all ages. Doors are at 8. It's going to be awesome. And you should come out and donate at citr.ca/donate. Also, check out our Instagram. We're doing silent auction prizes on there. I think right now, so far, we've posted a $95 and 1 hour flash tattoo from Wizzes Apps, a great local tattoo artist. So you can bid on that if you go to our Instagram at CITR and Discorder. And yeah, that's
yeah. And if
all
you
my plugs.
Do donate, make sure you indicate that Fan Club, mm-hmm. we were the ones that sent you. And we will offer an exclusive high five from the two of us at the studio if you come by, if you do that and donate.
Very generous.
Yes. This was our Fun Drive loved themed episode. Isia, do you have any closing thoughts on everything we've talked about today?
That I guess love is explored in so much media, in so many different ways. And it's very interesting. And next week, our episode falls on Valentine's Day. So we'll probably be doing something in the vein of love and romance again.
We'll be running it back.
Exactly.
Yes.
So tune in next week, Tuesday, 2 p.m. And I don't know. Have a great week.
Yeah. Stay easy on them turns. I don't know why I said that. But next week, we'll probably be talking about Valentine's Day again. This was really fun talking about how love is explored in TV and music and I guess books when we talked about normal people for a little bit. We'll be here, same place, 2 p.m. next week, the week after that most likely as well. So thank you for your ears. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.